The Queen of Saga, Margaret Dickinson, is back with a heartwarming page turn at The Poacher's Daughter, her 30th novel for publishers Pan Macmillan. Margaret is a Sunday Times top 10 bestseller. Born in Gainsborough, Lincolnshire, Margaret moved to the coast at the age of 7 and so began a love for the sea and the Lincolnshire landscape. Her ambition to be a writer began early, and she had her first novel published at the age of 25. This was followed by many further titles, including Plough the Furrow, Sow the Seed and Reap the Harvest, which make up her Lincolnshire Fleethaven trilogy. She is also the author of The Buffer Girls and its sequel, Daughters of Courage. With his 30th book, the author has added another pearl to their already impressive literary necklace. The Poacher's Daughter by Margaret Dickinson is to be published in Pan paperback on May the 11th and on ebook also out May the 11th. It's already out in hardback. And to tell us all about it, my special guest today is Margaret. So, Margaret, how's things?
I'm fine, thank you, Graham. How are you?
Very well, and to be honest with you, it's only when I look back at that amazing career that it just reminds me just how creative you've been and how prolific you are at turning these books out. I've been thinking for a lifetime to write a book. You seem to write one every year. Is that the case?
It is, yes. I do one a year and have done for the last 30 years. So, yeah, I've never missed a year.
Oh, fantastic. And kind of, what keeps you going? I mean, you're having to recreate a new universe every time you kind of write a book, I guess.
Yes, you create another series of characters, families, if you like to call it. You know, they're family sagas as well as romantic. So, yes, you create you meet new friends, really.
And how involved do you get with the characters? I mean, do they become family?
Oh, yes, they have to do. They have to be real to me to live on the page for the reader to feel involved with what happens to them.
Well, listen, tell me about the new one. The title itself, The Poacher's Daughter, it evoked, I was thinking about things like The Gamekeeper with Barry Hines, the 1975 book, which I really loved. I was also thinking about Lady Chatterley's Lover, where the working-class gamekeeper falls for the upper-class woman. Were they inspirations at all for what you've done?
They weren't, no, but the sort of germ of the idea, shall we say, it's not the story, but years ago in the 19th century, there was a story of a gamekeeper who was shot and killed by a poacher. And, you know, I didn't write about that. But it was just the idea of a poacher and a gamekeeper at loggerheads, you know, and the life they would lead and the dangers that a poacher would get into. And then, of course, my stories have to have a woman as the central character or a girl. And so the poacher, he teaches his daughter the tricks of his trade. And, of course, that's going to lead into problems. And also the sort of romantic element is that the son of the master of the estate where her father's poaching and she's poaching, they meet and fall in love, and of course it's a no-no, you know, and his father is absolutely dead set against it, and he tries to keep them apart forever.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic kind of romantic piece set in this kind of like wonderful countryside that you actually grew up in as well. I know you like to research your books very thoroughly, but I guess the research had already been done over a lifetime for this one.
Sagas traditionally are the first half of the 20th century, 1900 to 1960. You can go a little bit either side if you want to, but this is set just before the start of the First World War. And the man she's in love with, the son of the estate owner, he volunteers. And, of course, then she goes, actually, to be a nurse in a hospital. And, of course, you're waiting all the time to see who's going to come in as a patient. And I'm not telling you any more than that.
I think you've teased us enough there, Margaret. But just in terms of your books, they do tend to have a wartime theme. That could be the First World War or the Second World War. Why is it important for you to use those as backdrops?
Well, two reasons, really. One is that a saga usually goes over a lot of years. And unfortunately, in the 20th century, you always run into a war somewhere, you know, first or second. Now, I've done quite a few on the Second World War, and there are also a lot of other saga writers around now writing wonderful books about the Second World War, so I wanted to be a bit different, so I've gone back in time a little bit further. But, of course, in these books, you need conflict between the characters and between families and so on. But, of course, if you have a war situation, you've already got an inbuilt conflict and the concerns of the family about their loved ones.
Yeah, but do you know what? I really love... I've not finished the book yet, so don't spoil it for me. But
I wouldn't.
I love the way that you introduced the two main characters right at the start, in the first chapter. Where she, I think it's Rosie who's fishing, and she's come up across by the landowner's son, Byron.
And you
set the, in the first chapter, you build the village life that these two people are coming from.
Yes.
And it's just such a beautiful world that you've created there. I mean, is that based on a particular village, or is it based on the Lincolnshire that you grew up in?
A bit of both, really. I've got, do you know Well Vale near Alford, near Louth in Lincolnshire?
I know Louth, yes.
Well, it's sort of that area, but it's not that's not the village. I haven't described the village. I created my own village, where there's the village, and then there's the, over the hill and down in the vale, there's the big house where the owner of the estate lives. So I've created all that, but it's that sort of area. And I do mention Louth and Lincoln as the real places that they go to, but the actual village, Thornsby, is a creation.
The tourist board must love you. Do you get people actually going on visits to try and find locations that you've written about in your books?
Yes, when I've actually have pinpointed a particular place, like Gumby Hall near Skegness, I wrote about that in Fairfield Hall, and I did use, I had permission from them to use the hall as the house. And I talked about a painting of Annabelle, the main character. And the house curator of Gumby Hall told me that a lady had come one day to visit the hall and wanted to see the picture of Annabelle. And she says, well, I'm ever so sorry, we haven't got one. That's Margaret's creation. So it's wonderful, though, when a reader thinks it's so real, but they'll go looking for it.
Amazing. And I guess, like, you know, it's not just Lincolnshire, is it, but Nottinghamshire, Derbyshire, South Yorkshire. Is it important to write about areas that you know?
Yes, it is. I like to be able to visit the places I write about. So, you know, I mean, heard something yesterday about something down in Yeovil that might be interesting, but, I don't think I can get down there to do the research.
Now, Margaret, you do a lot of research, and I wonder what kind of research you've done into the likes of poaching, or, you know, just the lifestyle of the kind of the big houses of that period.
Yeah, there was some very good books written by former poachers, and so I got quite a lot of information from those, and there's quite a bit on the internet as well, you know, how to set a snare and that sort of thing, because it's... You're going back in time. This is not the present day. These things aren't done now, which is quite right that they're not. But, of course, I'm writing about a time, over 100 years ago, aren't I?
Yeah, I thought what interested me about, like I say, where I saw a similarity with The Gamekeeper by Barry Hines, the 1975 book that he wrote, that was about a former steel worker who turned gamekeeper and hand-reared and treasured the birds to be shot by his wealthy employers. But kind of not a romantic hero, but he understood the natural world, and he sees it without sentimentality. And I thought that reminded me quite a lot about Rosie's dad.
Yes, yes. He's never, even though he's a poacher and he kills to feed himself and the villagers in hard times, I don't think I'm giving too much away with that. He's never cruel to animals. He kills them humanely. And I was at pains to point that out. I don't want my readers to think I've, you know... But as I say, I need to point out that it's a long time ago as I say, these things aren't done now.
Yeah. But, you know, it was the way of life, wasn't it, back then? And I think you capture it quite magnificently in the book. I've read it so far, and I did say it's a page turn. It really is.
Thank you.
Well done. In terms of what comes next, because I guess people are always asking, you know, they enjoy everything you do. What's happening next? Are you already working on the next novel?
I am. I've got about half the draft done.
Wow.
And it's, I'm going to give away a secret now, but it'll help. It's set in Sheffield.
Sheffield again. Can you tell us any more?
Only that it brings in the Sheffield Pals Battalion in World War One.
Oh.
That's really all I can tell you.
Well, I'm very interested by that itself, because my great-grandfather and his two brothers, all three of them died on the first day of the Battle of the Somme. And they were
in
the Barnsley Pals. It resonates very closely with me, that. So, I'm going to be very interested, Margaret. You must tell me all about that as soon as you can.
I will, Graham. I'll keep in touch with you. When is that, I've got your email now.
And when is that likely to be published, Margaret?
Well, this time next year, hopefully, all being well.
Okay, all right. A working title for it? Have we got one?
A Mother's Sorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Great. Well, listen, thank you for sharing that much, Margaret. I'll not press you any more on it, because I know you like to keep the big reveal until we get close to the publishing time.
It's also, Graham, that at this point things change a bit, you know, and I don't like to say too much in case there's something crops up that I need to change, and then it's
absolutely
not right.
But what we can say is that we know everything that we need to know now about the poacher's daughter. At least we do if we read the book. It's out now. It's been out in hardback, I think, for a month or so. But it's actually going to be out in paperback from May the 11th. So that's an ideal summer holiday book, I would imagine, for a lot of people. And it's also available in ebook as well, or it will be from May the 11th. Margaret, in terms of the e-books, how does that work? Is that a text that you download and read, or is there an audio version, or have you considered that as well?
Yes, I think there will be an audio version. That they're certainly doing one, but I don't know when that's going to be released, because it's usually a little bit after the printed version. But there will be an audio as well.
In terms of it being your 30th book for Pan Macmillan, and I think you wrote a bunch of other books before then. I think if I'm up to date, I think this is probably actually your 39th. But let's go with the 30th anniversary, because that's just wonderful. Did you feel a little bit of pressure on yourself to actually make sure that landmark was a major piece of work that you were writing?
Not particularly. Not at the time, no. I was aware that it was the number 30 for Pan Macmillan, but, you know, I was writing, as I do usually, sort of the book that comes to be written.
So I guess with every book, you give your heart and soul to it. You must, you're dedicating a year of your life, aren't you?
Yes, definitely, yes.
All right, well, listen, like I said, I'd encourage everybody to go out and read not just this, but all of Margaret's books. They're absolutely fantastic and really put you into a world that we've almost forgotten now. But what an amazing time that period was, and very challenging for lots of reasons. And for that reason, the characters, they spring to life out the book, and Margaret has a wonderful way of actually creating the landscape that they live in as well. So dip in, enjoy. You've got a great body of work to look at, and some more books to come as well. Margaret, thank you ever so much for your time, and look forward to speaking to you again, no doubt, this time next year.
I hope so, Graham. Take care. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much.
And to you.